Hey folks, thank you all very, very much for coming. People have come from near and from far, some from Kiryat Moshe and some from the Galil, some from Zichron Yaakov. Really, it's amazing to see people here and wonderful that you've come out to learn Torah with us here tonight. I want to just start with a couple of quick thank yous, and they don't come off my 40 minutes, I hope, but I'm not going to go talk about them at length. First of all, I want to very much thank Dana and Yaffa and all those who set up this wonderful evening. One of the reasons that I was particularly excited to take over as the Rosh Midrash of the school is because there is such an amazing constellation of people in the school right now doing incredible work in a very joined up way with each other. And Yaffa is very much part of that, and Dana is, and Atara is, and so many other people, Emuna is, so many people here, and Carol is, I'm trying to get through everybody. There's so many people here who are so involved, and really, from my perspective, this makes it such an amazing opportunity for me. So I want to thank them for this evening and for in a much broader way. And I also want to thank Rabbi Shurin. There will be many opportunities for us to thank Rabbi Shurin during the year in different forums, but without Rabbi Shurin, there would be no school to take over. And I want to, express my appreciation that he has agreed to hand over his baby, that he's nurtured in such a way. And I feel very honored that he feels that he trusts me to do that. And with his guidance, please God, we'll go Michael El Chayil. Now my 40 minutes start. I wanted to talk with you about Ahavat Hashem, the love of Hashem, which is very much part of the mitzvah of tshuva. We'll see in a second. Which goes together with the mitzvah of simcha, of simchas ha-mitzvahs, and simcha ba'avodah, of joy. And this is a shiur that really you could give and listen to at any time in the year, but it's especially relevant now. And this is a shiur, when I wheel this shiur out sometimes, I've changed it actually a little bit just for you guys, but I really need to give this shiur to myself. Because as my wife will testify, I am not someone who finds this a naturally easy mitzvah. I am disadvantaged personally in three different ways. Number one, I am English and therefore unable to express any real emotion in any kind of meaningful way. Number two, I'm from the north of England, from Yorkshire, in a place where anyone who knows England knows that everybody is miserable all of the time. And therefore, for me to have Simchas HaChaim goes against my entire upbringing. And thirdly, just ethnically, Jewishly, my family is all from Lithuania. We're not from a very sort of expressive, emotionally intuitive place. And therefore, I give this shit to myself. And if you get anything from it, then great. But if I actually listen to what I'm saying, then it'll be better for me too. So what I want to do is I want to speak for about 15 minutes about the basic structure of what is Ahavat Hashem and what it's got to do with this time of year. And then I want to give you very briefly, because we don't have very long, 10 specific ways of applying this in life. And you can choose which of these 10 you feel you want to focus on, you want to get more into this year, save for next year. Therefore, it's going to be more like a kind of Shulchan Aruch, like a laid out table. I'm just going to put the stuff in front of you. You can decide what you're going to choose. And we're not going to go through every single source. But let's set it up at the very beginning. The Chumash talks a lot about Ahava, the mitzvah on us to love God, and the mitzvah and the reality that God loves us. Maybe start from the most basic form in number two, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that we say the Shema, which is perhaps the most fundamental statement that we teach our youngest children as the last thing we say, Ad Me'eva Esrim. And then it says immediately, V'yahavta is Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol miyodecha. This is not just a love, but a love with everything we have, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, etc., etc. And then it flies off into the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which we'll pick up in a minute. And this mitzvah of Ahava is repeated many times in the Chumash, especially in Dvarim. I brought you another example in number three, Li'ahava is Hashem Elokecha. We have a mitzvah to love God, lishmo b'kolo, to listen to the Torah, to His voice, uledavka bo, and to stick, to cleave, to join in some way, which is a very big ask. How do you do dveikus? How do you connect with God when God is so ephemeral and untouchable and unseeable and all of those things that we find it very hard? It's hard enough to connect with people, never mind connecting with a supreme being. So how are we meant to do this? Clearly, it is there for us to do. And it goes the other way as well. I remember there was a student in Midrash Tehil a few years ago. I think it was Midrash Rachel, and she said to me, "Rabbi, we speak a lot about us loving God, but how do I know that God loves us? Meaning, it's all very well I have to love Him, but I need a little bit of love back." So I said, "Look, it's in the Chumash, it's in Dvarim as well." And I brought you in number 5, various psukim. I'm not going to read them all, but it says very clearly, "Ki mi ahavat Hashem etchem." God didn't pick you because you're the most numerous nation or because you're the best behaved nation, but because God loves you. U'mishamru et hashvua asher nishba la'avoteichem. And God wants to keep the promise that He made to your fathers. Hoitzi Hashem etchem biyad chazaka, and He took you out of Egypt, etc. And then again it says, "V'yahavcha." He loves you, and He wants to bless you, and He wants to bless the fruit of your hands and your families and your jobs. There is a lot of love going in both directions. And it's not just the Jewish people. Don't forget, the Jewish people are singled out as the firstborn child. There's a special relationship between the parent and the firstborn child. But God says very clearly to the Jewish people when they leave Egypt, "You are the firstborn, but all the people in the world are My children. You are there to teach them and to help them and to be the bridge between the generations. That's the job of the Bechor." So God has an enormous love. The Chumash tells us, it's easy for me to stand up like an evangelical Christian and say that God loves you. I don't speak for God. But the Torah does. And the Torah says very clearly that God loves us, and it goes in both directions. So Ahava is very central to our whole relationship with God. And I want to just start by framing this through the mitzvah of Avas Hashem in the Sefer HaChinuch. Have a look in the Chinuch, please, in number 4. So the Chinuch says, Mitzvah Avat Hashem. Now he goes by Parsha, so it already comes quite late in the 613. Shenitztaveinu Tevein Laves Amokam Baruch Hu. We have a mitzvah to love God. Shenehemar V'yahavtais Hashem Elokecha. The inyan mitzvah, and the point of this mitzvah is, Shenachshov V'nitbonen. We should have to think, because at the end of the day, guys, you have to love God here. There's no way, you can't do anything here. This is just a pump. It pumps blood around your body. It's all happening up here. It's funny, in the human body, we feel different emotions in different places in our body. Certain sensations, some in our tummy, some in our chest, all over the place. But it all happens up here. It's only ever happening up here. Says the Chinuch, therefore you have to think. You have to nitbonen. You have to focus. Bipkudav, God's actions, God's commandments, upulatav, and God's actions. We get into that soon. Until we get some grasp in some way of what we think we understand God to be. Of course, we'll never get a full grasp, but we have to try. Venit aneg, and we have to get oneg. That's clear. We'll see in a minute what that means. We have to get a lot of pleasure, bahasagasa, in what we're able to achieve, what we're able to understand. Betachlis ha-oneg. It's the ultimate pleasure, the ultimate oneg. This is Sefer Chinuch. This is not, some kind of Kiruv seminar telling us to all, have pleasure in life. It's a Sefer Chinuch. He's telling us we have to do this mitzvah through oneg, through enjoying it. V'zati ahava ha-mechuyevet. And that's just the basic level. That's the ahava ha-mechuyevet. We have to have the sense of oneg, of joy in life. And then he says, Shorish mitzvah zo yadua. And it's clear. Everyone knows what the basis of this is. And here I want you to focus on these next few words on the third line of number 4. Shelo yikayim ha'adam mitzvah Hashem baruch hu yafa rak be'avasa oso. It's not that this is another mitzvah. It's that we don't do any other mitzvah yafa in a way which is appropriate, beautiful, proper. We don't do them unless we do them with Avas Hashem. So it's not like, I did the mitzvah of Shmir Shabbos. Oh, and I also did the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Or it's I did the mitzvah of Shmir Shabbos, but I did it in a better way because I had Avas Hashem. He says, no, you're not really doing the mitzvah of Shmir Shabbos unless you're doing it with Avas Hashem. It's a prerequisite. It's built in to every mitzvah. And therefore, that's why it's a klal. It's a mega mitzvah. It's not just another thing that we can do. And therefore, he wants us to understand, v'zot mit mitzvah ha-tamidias. This is one of the mitzvahs tamidias. This applies every single waking moment of every day. Al ha-adam, on every person, men and women, there's no difference. U'motelet alav li'olam. And it's on us every single moment, from from bat mitzvah, age 12, to 120 years old. Avas Hashem. In fact, I didn't put it on the sheet, I just thought to say it now. The Chasam Sofer says, what's the first mitzvah a bar mitzvah boy does, or a bat mitzvah girl does, when they turn bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah? And everyone's going, oh, yeah, they say Kriya Shema. Says, no, it's the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. The first time when a bar mitzvah boy or a bat mitzvah girl passes their birthday, the relevant birthday, and they have this sense of excitement to doing a mitzvah, that's the first mitzvah that the person does. And therefore, Avas Hashem is such a central idea. In fact, I heard a podcast recently from Rabbi David Aaron. The Rabbi Aaron was interviewed by Rabbi Scott Kahn on the Orthodox Conundrum, who also just interviewed Rabbi Shurin, by the way, and who also just interviewed Rabbi Karlinsky. So as far as I'm concerned, that gives it a haskama. If Rabbi Shurin and Rabbi Karlinsky are on 2 weeks in a row, then you can't go wrong. Even though there's some quite controversial people you should just know on that podcast, and I'm not including Rabbi Shurin or Rabbi Karlinsky in that. But he interviewed this morning, when I listened to it, not this morning. Who did he interview? He interviewed David Aaron, Rabbi David Aaron. And Rabbi David Aaron said, I don't like the word God. I'm not going to use the word God. And so Rabbi Kahn said to him, so what word do you want to use? He says, I want to use the word Rachmana. Rachmana. We should all use the word Rachmana. The loving one. The one who loves us. Look at source number 6. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas brachas, im bimkom birkas amotzi. If instead of saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Amotzi Lachem Min Haaretz, birech, instead you said Baruch Rachmana Malka Mare Dahai Pita, that Baruch is Rachmana. You say Rachmana instead of Shem Hashem, then Yotza. That's good enough. You can say Baruch Rachmana Malka Mare Dahai Pita, and the Mishnah Berurah says what? Kivan sheyesh shemu malchus. This has the prerequisites halachically of a bracha. You said God's name. You said his malchus, because you said malka, and you said rachmana. Demilat rachmana kai bimkom Hashem, because rachmana is used for the shem Hashem. Shekein hayu koren oisa b'bavel. This is what they used to call God in Babel. The Babylonian, Amorayim, those who wrote the Talmud, they didn't say God. They didn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't say Ribbono Shel Olam. Maybe they did occasionally. They said Rachmana. Maybe we should all do that. God is the loving one. Maybe we'd feel differently. The word God has too much baggage. It sounds too austere, too Christian, too, you know, all the things we don't like about Judaism. Let's pack them all into, or religion generally. Just pack them into the word God and push it to the side. And then find a different word. Maybe Rachmana is the word. So Ava is a very central platform. Go over the page. The Rambam, perhaps surprisingly, but perhaps not surprisingly, leads in Hilchas Tshuva up to the mitzvah of Avat Hashem. And the first halacha there, I'm not going to get into Aleph and Bet in detail. He says that don't serve Hashem, don't do mitzvahs, don't do tshuva because you think you're going to get a reward. That's a lower level because you're scared because of Yiras Hashem. He says that's important, but that's a lower level. But you should do it because it's the right thing to do. You have to do it because there's an ahava. And if you look at the end of Bet in number 7, Ubizman sheyev Adam es Hashem, if when a person loves Hashem, ahava haruya, in the appropriate love that they need to have, miyad yaseh kol HaMitzvahs mi'ahava. Then you end up transforming all of the mitzvahs we do, from just mitzvahs to mitzvahs mi'ahava. Like the Chinuch said, and the Chinuch, I'm sure, took it from the Rambam. And if you look at the Rambam, quite a famous quote now in Gimel, he says as follows: the Ketzad hi ha'ahava haru'uya. What is the appropriate way to love God? V'hu sheyaves Hashem ahava gedoyle yisera azam ma'oid. You have to love God with a great love, with a strong love, with an exceeding love. Until you feel your whole soul is tied up with Avas Hashem. And you're kind of obsessed a little bit with Avas Hashem. As if you're lovesick. If you have a crush on somebody. That slightly obsessive stage, which we go through in life, and sometimes we think, oh, I've got over that. Well, don't. Don't get over that. It's there for a purpose. It's there to let you know what it feels like to have that slightly obsessive, you know, view of another person. And then the Rambam says, and in case you're unfortunate enough that you never had a crush on anyone when you were a teenager or beyond, he says, I'll tell you what it's meant to feel like. So then he paskins. She'ein da'asa p'nuyim e'ava so'isa isha. He says, you can't get this woman out of your mind. For who shogi batamid, you're obsessed about her. Bein b'shifta, when you go to sleep. Bein b'kuma, the first thing when you wake up in the morning, the first thing is you think of her. You go to sleep, the last thing is you think of her. Bein b'shashi hu oicha, you're trying to eat, all you can think of is her. V'shoita, you want to have a drink, all you can think of is her. More than this should be the love of Hashem in the minds of the people who love him. Shogim batamid, they have to be really obsessed about him. Those words mean something. It's not just love, it's exceeding love. For Husha Shlomo Amadarech Moshe, and this is what Shlomo HaMelech said when he said, Ki choyla ava, choylas ava ani. I'm just lovesick. I'm lovesick for God. V'chol shir ha-shirim Moshe hu le'in yazeh. And the whole of shir ha-shirim, which is very explicit and very expressive about the love between a man and a woman, it's all talking about this mitzvah. And that's why Rabbi Akiva said that shir ha-shirim is kodesh kadoshim. This is really where it's all at. And then he says at the end, "V'dava yadu or borur." It's very clear. She'ein avas hakadosh baruch hu niksheris b'liver shel adam ad sheyishke batamid. You can't love God until you really think about God. Karoi v'yazav kol ma sheba'olam chutz mimena. Now, you probably thought of the Rambam as a very kind of rationalistic thinker. So again, I heard. I'm taking longer to drive into work now that I work for Darchei Noam institutions. I have a long commute in the morning from Alon Shvut, so I get to listen to lots of podcasts. So I listened to another one this morning. This was Rabbi Rafi Zarum, who was being interviewed again by Rabbi Scott Kahn. And he said a line which I never thought of, which is really, really, I mean, really true, which is, why is the Rambam emotional? Why does he want to call on your emotions here? Because it's rational to be emotional. It's rational. A rationalist person will turn around and say, my mind is a composite of different components. I have an intellectual side, I have an emotional side, I have a psychological side. It's totally rational that I would want to engage all of those sides of my brain in order to serve Hashem. So being emotional is rational. I don't know, maybe that's obvious. But it was, I never thought of it like that before. And therefore you see a very high bar. In the Rambam, he really wants you to generate, and again, a real emotion, not like you watched a movie and you're crying. Like, why are you crying? Oh, well, they'd all died. They didn't die. They just said, cut, and everyone got up and had a cup of tea. Why are you crying? Nobody died. No, because someone's playing with your head. Steven Spielberg's playing with your head. This has to be real. Not just like fake emotion, but emotion that you generate yourself, not that's placed in you from somewhere else, that makes you really feel that way because you think, and when you think, you feel that way. And he says in number 8, again, the idea of Avas Hashem is oneg, this sense of pleasure, this sense of enjoyment, of engagement in the thinking that we do. And it's based on Psukim. The Rambam's not making this up. Number 9, V'it anegel Hashem. Get this onik from Hashem, says to Hillel, v'yitin l'chamishalos libecha. This will be the connection that you have with God. And then potentia adam loy nivra ela litz aneg. The Mesilas Yesharim says that mankind was made for this sense of onik, for this sense of connection with Hashem. And I brought you just 3 lines from the biography of Rav Kook here, by Simcha Raz. And he talks, I think it was Rav Charlap who saw the Rav, saw Rav Kook. Number 11, one winter evening, it was cold enough to freeze the blood in one's veins. Everything was frozen, ice formed on the window panes. Darkness prevailed and the clouds covered everything with an ashen grey. I went up to see the Rav. His house was pitch dark. Everyone was asleep except for the Rav. He moved around his small room, all impassioned. For a while, he did not take notice of me, but then he approached me and gave me his hand. It was completely frozen. Yet with a burning enthusiasm, with glowing eyes and a fiery countenance, he asked me, tell me, is it the same with you? What do you mean? I asked. And he replied, I am completely consumed with a burning love for Hashem. Do you feel the same way? Now, I agree, this is a touch intense, you know. I don't know if everybody has to be pacing the kitchen at 3 o'clock in the morning, consumed with passion for God. I'm not sure it would be a terrible thing, but he's trying to get over this idea that the engagement, the excitement, the motivation, the energy was all part of Avas Hashem. Okay, fine. I would also say, and I think this is a very important point where we are right now, it's all very well saying this, you know, these lofty ideas of loving God and connecting with God. I think a lot of people right now might find that quite difficult. A lot of people find that they're asking perfectly understandable, challenging questions like, you know, fine, but people are suffering so much, and how can I generate that sense of appreciation and love when I just, you know, I'm constantly worn down by the suffering of people who really don't deserve it? And I think, therefore, this whole conversation needs to be also had together with a conversation about Tzadik V'Ra Lo, which I'm not going to have today at all, which is kind of thinking about how do we traditionally, classically approach the question of why is it that people suffer so much in a way that they don't deserve in any way we could understand at all. And I think that's also an important conversation to have right now. And I think the two go together. And I've been putting a bit of thought into this, and I'm actually giving some shirim on this at the OU Israel Center, which I've avoided. For 20 years, I've said I'm not. There's two things I'm never going to speak about. Bli Neder. One of them is Lashon Hara. Not getting into that. Too complicated. Too, you know, intense for me. I'm not giving Hilchas Lashon Hara to Yashirim. And the second, like, Sneas. Yeah, I wrote a book about Sneas. Like, think about that. How crazy is that? I should have written a book about Lashon Hara. But, and the other one is Tzadik V'Ra Lo. Oh, I'm not going to start getting into, like, why bad things happen. But I think I couldn't avoid it. I felt that I needed to get into it. So if you want to get the Shirim, they should be on the website soon. Be'ezrat Hashem. I don't know if they'll be any good. You can decide that for yourself. Okay. That was the first half of the shir, which is 20 minutes and 42 seconds. The second half of the shir will be 10 quick fire. We're not going to see many sources, ways that you can maybe incorporate this, classical applications of how we do Avas Hashem. How do you love God when it's such a cerebral and ephemeral kind of connection? So have a look at the top of page number 3. So I don't know if it's contrary to the Rambam, but a number of the Rishonim understand that actually Avat Hashem is part of the mitzvah of being an Eved Hashem. And we sometimes don't often associate those. First of all, I think the word Eved has a bad rap, because in modern Hebrew, an Eved is a slave, and none of us feel like we want to be slaves. And an Eved in Rabbinic Hebrew is more of an Oved. It's an employee. It's someone who's in the firm. So get the kind of slave images out of your head. You want to be an Oved. You want to be someone who's part of God's firm. And the Rabbeinu Yonah brings down the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Al tiyei ka'avadim hamashamshim esarav al menas lekavod pras, number 12. Don't be like an employee who's working for the Parnasa. You have to be in it not for the money, not for the Parnasa. And look at Rabbeinu Yonah number 13, he says, V'zot hi avodes Hashem mi'ahava. That's what it means to serve Hashem mi'ahava. Shenema v'yahavtais Hashem elokecha. It brings the pasuk. V'eize hi u'ava shleima. What is real ahava, full ahava b'bnei Adam? You want to serve the master because you love the master? Okay, mi'amin kadmonim, from we have a relationship that goes back so far. I don't work for the firm to make parnasa. I work for the firm because I love the firm. Even if you know shelo yitin lapras, that you're not really going to earn big money. I don't care. I'm in it for the firm. That should be an avoda mi ahava. I couldn't help thinking, I was trying to think of an image, like, what's the kind of person that you can imagine? And I don't know if this is just me, but I kind of thought of Downton Abbey. I don't know if anyone saw Downton Abbey. You're probably very religious and you don't watch anything on any screen ever, anywhere. But if you ever watch Downton Abbey, maybe it's an English thing. So the butler, do you ever remember the butler, Mr. Carson? So I think that is a great example of an Oved Mi Ahava. He loves the family. He doesn't care about the money. If the family is in disgrace, he feels disgraced. If the family has a simcha, he feels the simcha. It's someone who's, I'm part of the family. I'm not really, because I only work for the family, but I'm part of that's the sense of Avodah Mi Ahava. And I think it's actually quite inspiring in many ways, the idea of being this kind of part of the staff, but I'm in it because I'm so in love with the family. If the marshal didn't do it for you, then please don't watch 5 series of Downton Abbey. It's not worth it just to understand that particular point. But if you get it, you get it. That's fine. Okay. Other ways you can do it. Number 1, Simcha. 15. So this is another way of applying this. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, bo lefanav birnana. So serve Hashem, work for Hashem, work with Hashem in simcha. And if you look here in the Rambam, in Hilchas Lulav,
And this is fascinating. At the end of all of the mitzvahs of Hilchos Lulav, when he's gone all the way through Shofar and Sukkah and Lulav, again this time of year, he says, she has simcha, underlined here, she has simcha, she smach adam ba'asiyas ha-mitzvahs. So that a simcha that a person feels when they do mitzvahs, ubi ahavat ha'el shetziva banu bahem, and the love of God who commanded them, avodah gedolahi, that is an enormous avodah, it's enormous service. V'chol ha-maneya atzmo mi-simcha zo, and if you don't let yourself feel this sense of simcha, ra'oi lehi-parami menu, then we deserve, a, God forbid, a, to be punished for that alone. Because you didn't serve God in simcha. This is a pasuk from this week's parasha. In the Klalos, these terrible, terrible curses that come on the Jewish people, and you think, what could we have done that deserved such awful, awful predictions, which all happened? What could be the sin? Is it that we worshipped Avodah Zorah, or we didn't keep Shabbos? What was it? And the only hint is in that pasuk in the middle. No, this is happening because you did mitzvahs, but not with simcha. You did it without this sense of excitement and joy. You did it because you had to do it. That's actually very scary, that this whole brachas and this whole the intochacha is coming, and the focus of it is, you didn't do it with simcha. Therefore, the Rambam says at the very end of Hilchos Lulav that we have to try and generate more simcha in our mitzvahs. That's a way of doing Avas Hashem. And I brought you the Sefer Charedim in number 17. She'ikah schar ha-mitzvah ala simcha. The main reward for the mitzvah is the simcha. It's not the mitzvah, not the action, it's the simcha of the mitzvah. Ein simcha prat nosaf ba-mitzvah, like we saw in the Chinuch. The simcha is not just an extra element. The simcha is the reward for the mitzvah. So it seems such a shame to be doing all these mitzvahs and working so hard, and if you don't have the simcha, then there's no real mitzvah. There's no reward for the mitzvah. Not that you're doing it for the reward, but you want it to be in the highest form you can. Right, that's one application. Number 18, I'll just mention it outside. The Rambam says very clearly, the amount that you love God is wrapped up in the amount that you understand God. It's about yediyah, because he is a rationalist at the end of the day. And the amount that you understand God depends on the amount that you think about God. So understanding Jewish thought, Machshevet Yisrael, Jewish philosophy. Okay, you don't all have to go and run and become experts in the Mor Nevuchim. But it's not a terrible thing if you do. In fact, it's a very good thing if you can get your head around it. The idea of we can't grasp everything about God, and maybe we can't really grasp anything about God, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. And therefore, getting your head around the big Machshava issues. Just go through the Yud Gimel Ikrim and try and start there. What does it mean that God exists? What does it mean that God is one? What does it mean that God is incorporeal? What does it mean that we have to daven directly to God? That there's such a thing as prophecy, the da-da-da, Mashiach, and the Hashkacha Pratis, and the Hashkacha Klalis. Don't just throw up your hands and say, oh, it's very complicated. Correct. It's very complicated. But one of the routes to Avas Hashem is getting your head around this stuff. And there's no excuse anymore. There's so many great books in English. You can just pick it up, and it's all on this black piece of plastic as well. You know? Just, you need the links. So that's one way of doing it. If you're a cerebral type, Avas Hashem, through thinking, understanding, Jewish philosophy, etc. Next, number 19, Avas Hashem through learning Torah. The Rambam brings down the Sifra, the Sifrei, I should say, here in number 19. This is from the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Sifrei says, Lefi Shenema v'yahavta is Hashem Elokecha. It says you have to love God. Eini yodeh keitz Avas Hamokam, Oevas Hamokam. I don't know how to love God. How do I love God? Tamad loyme v'ayu advarim ha'ele Hashem nukhim savcha ayom. Ala b'vecha. Learn Torah. Learn Torah. You don't have to learn philosophy. Learn Torah. When you daven, you speak to God. When you learn Torah, God speaks back. You want to understand God, learn Torah. So take on something new, something you haven't learned before. Something you always said, well, when I get to that age, then I'm going to learn that. Well, now, that's that age. Learn it. Take on something new. Pick it up with a chavrusa. Pick it up online. Join something. Learning Torah is a mitzvah of Avas Hashem, which is, by the way, a mitzvah of learning Torah, which is incumbent on women in exactly the same way as it's an incumbent on men. There's no difference between the mitzvah of Avas Hashem through learning Torah, whether you're male or female. It's the same. There are other mitzvahs at Talmud Torah where there is distinctions, but not that one. So that's another one. Number 20, here's another one. Rambam says you can learn, you can develop Avas Hashem through learning science, looking at nature. Go on, watch a series about life on our planet. If you don't come out excited and energized and full of simcha from that, then how can that be? It's so inspiring. There's so much there. The Rambam says, Heich hi haderech la'avas oyli rasa. What is the way of Avas Hashem in Yiras Shamayim? When you look at the amazing creation around us, that you can't help but being moved to Avodas Hashem. And this, by the way, this idea of picking up on the sparks of divinity all around us in the natural world is developed not just by Chassidus, but I brought you here a couple of quotes from Rabbi Lam. You can read them in your own time in his book Torah Umada, when he talks about what is YU, where does YU get its core philosophy of Torah and secular study? And both of them can be a route towards religious fulfillment. How do we know that, not that secular studies is just a means to an end, but it itself is a form of connection to God? And he says, ultimately, it's rooted in Chassidus. Because if you can connect to God through milking the cow, if you have the right kavanas, how can you tell me you can't connect to God by doing a PhD? Well, milking a cow is more of a connection to God than a PhD. I mean, it's a bit quicker. Okay, but the point is, if you can do one, then for sure you can do the other, if that's what your thing is. And therefore, learning certain secular subjects, science, maybe history as well, we'll get to history in a minute, humanities maybe as well, you can get into that. I brought you in a very controversial quote by Rabbi Lam at the end, and Rabbi Lam was really not a very controversial person, honestly. He's not one of these people who courted controversy, but he says, number 23, the study of the sciences and humanities is in effect the study of Gemara and the fulfillment of the study of Torah. Okay, you can go and chew on that, decide whether you agree with it, don't agree with it. A lot of people in YU would disagree with that as well. But I'm just saying that's another way through. Next, number 24, here's another way. The Sefer HaChinuch says, one of the roots of Avas Hashem is seeing God's hand in history. Looking, he says, b'hashgachato hamayuchedet. How can you not be inspired by looking at world history? How can you not be energized by the 20th century? It's a roller coaster. It's like highs and lows. We just don't feel we're living in normal times. We feel we're living in biblical times. And I don't think people always felt that way, honestly. Maybe they did, but I don't think so. I think if you'd have asked a group of people in the 12th century, do you see God's hand in creation? They'd have all said, of course, how else could these trees have been here and the world and the moon and the stars? Obviously God made them. But if you ask them, do you see God's hand in history? I don't know, we've been in exile for hundreds of years and it's been pretty much the same. Every generation it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. I don't really see God's hand in history. Now in the 21st century, you say to people, do you see God's hand in science? They say, I don't know, it's evolution and it's all happening by itself and you can explain it all away. I don't see God's hand in science. But do you see God's hand in history? Whoa, that's crazy. And as one has gone down, one has gone up. It's very interesting. So if you don't see it in the science, so how can you not see it in Jewish history, in world history, in just look around and it's nuts, really, and you know that. But that is itself a form of Avas Hashem. Next few are here, number 25 and 26. What is the opposite of Avas Hashem? So actually the Sefer HaChinuch brings here, and the Bir Halacha quotes this at the very beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, that the opposite of Avas Hashem is not rejecting Hashem, it's loving money instead of Hashem. It's materialism. Therefore, the very first halacha in Shulchan Aruch is engage in Avas Hashem and don't be too materialistic. And there are different communities that struggle with different things, and some struggle with materialism. I'm sure that some of us wished we had more of a struggle with materialism than we do. But nevertheless, it's still an issue in many places. So avoiding materialism is another way. And again, you have to define what is materialism. It doesn't mean you have to live in a shack. It doesn't mean you have to drive a 25-year-old car. But you can work that out on your own and investigate it. But the idea of avoiding materialism is also Avas Hashem. Next, number 27, doing Avas Hashem through acting as a Kiddush Hashem. There's a beautiful Gemara in Yuma, and I'll paraphrase it. It says that if you're a Kiddush Hashem, if you're a religious person that represents Torah, and people look at you and they see, whoa, look at that person. They're honest in business, and they're nice to other people, and they're always smiling, and they've got great personal midas. They're going to say, whoa, Torah is amazing. Lucky is that person that learned Torah. Lucky is the teacher that taught them Torah. But if they see people that purport to represent religion, they dress religious and they sound religious and they talk religious, but they're dishonest in business and they've got bad personal abilities, people are going to say, ah, look, that's what religion gets for you. And the Gemara here says that is a fulfillment of the Ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha, being a Kiddush Hashem that enables people to love Torah and mitzvahs through seeing you. Next, 28, the Rambam brings down, if you love someone, you want other people to know about them. You want to spread the good news. You want to introduce your new fiancé to all your friends. maybe not to all your friends, in case some of them like him as much as you do, but the point is that you want to spread it around. It says if you really love God, you want to tell other people all about it. So he says the mitzvah of Kirov Rechaikim, the mitzvah of outreach, is a mitzvah of Avas Hashem, which is, I'm so excited about this, I want to share this opportunity with you. And that's from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was very into Avas Hashem. He's called Avraham Avi Yeshaya. And he's the big outreach worker. Not always successful, by the way. All these souls that Avraham gathered in Haran, they all melted away. It's very interesting. Outreach is, you have to work out what your like long-term, short-term goals are with outreach. That's another discussion. But the idea of being engaged in outreach to the Jewish people, especially now, where so many Jewish people all around the world are having an identity moment. What does it mean that I'm Jewish? Why did my co-workers suddenly turn against me? I've had so many conversations from high school young adults, 12th graders, who said to me, my friends in September were drawing swastikas on my locker in November. People who were working in groups with PhD students who'd worked together in groups for a year on research, who were close, and who all of a sudden turned around and said, those people deserve to die on October the 7th. Like, unbelievable, like a chip just went off in people's brains. Like, and this is not a moment for outreach, this is an incredible moment. Finally, the last one I want to suggest to you before we wrap up is a Mesirut Nefesh. And I think this is something that we can also relate to, and we'll finish with this, number 29 and 30. I'm sorry it's a bit chilly, but by the way, it's a big brocha, because if it wasn't so chilly, I wouldn't have been able to persuade the guys to turn off the AC and get rid of the noise. So that's a gamzol atova, yeah? If it would have been hot, we'd have had a lot of noise. So, you know, fine. Sorry about that. Okay, look at number 29. Says the Gemara in Brachas. V'yavtais Hashem Elokecha. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im ne'ma b'chol nafshecha. If it says with all of your soul, lama ne'ma b'chol me'odecha, why do you say with all of your strength? V'im ne'ma b'chol me'odecha, lama ne'ma b'chol nafshecha. Some people value their body more than their money. So for them, it says you have to be able to give up your body. You have to give up something physical. And there's some people whose money is more important to them than their body. So for them, fine. And I brought the Ramban, who says that this is especially true of the Jews that live in Eretz Israel. In here in number 30, he says, "Umatzati b'mechilta." He quotes the Mechilta. Rabbi Nassan Oymer le'ovei le'shomri mitzvosai. Who are the people who love me and who keep my mitzvahs? Elu shehem yoshvim be'eretz Yisrael. These are the people who live in Eretz Yisrael. V'noitnim nafsham ala mitzvahs, and they are moser nefesh for mitzvahs. Now he gives extreme examples of times in Jewish history where people living in the land of Israel had to give up their lives for mitzvahs, that they couldn't learn Torah, they couldn't keep Shabbos, etc. But the idea that a Jew connects with God, achieves Avas Hashem through Mesirut Nefesh in whatever way, and I think everybody in this room has connected in some way with Mesirut Nefesh, and knows people who've had the most unbelievable Mesirut Nefesh, the ultimate Mesirut Nefesh, but that's also a way to Avas Hashem. So you see, this is such an exciting mitzvah. There's so many ways you can do it. You can do it through learning philosophy. You can do it through, I think it should be like a Dr. Seuss story. You can do it, I haven't worked it out. You can learn philosophy, you can learn Torah, you can learn science, you can learn Jewish history, you can be into Kirov and outreach, you can be into Kiddush Hashem, you can be into Mesirut Nefesh. You choose, pick which way you like, focus on it, and say, this year I'm going to do it like this. And maybe that'll be a way, Be'ezrat Hashem, that we will develop this mitzvah. I brought you at the end, I'm not going to read it, the Mesilas Yesharim, who talks about the specifics of developing dveikus and simcha and kina, feeling personally aggrieved when we see, you know, a world in which mitzvahs are not being done properly. Okay, that's a different conversation, which is not for now. So hopefully some of those things give you some ideas. Thank you again for coming out. And like Yaffa said, we should all please God have an enormous bracha this year. We should have a ksiva v'chsima tova and a yeshua and atzala for all those who need it. And really, you should all have a lot of nachas from your families, please God, and we should meet on many occasions like this. Thank you.